Now, coming up, we're going to go all Celtic on Folk Roots Radio. We've got Ross McKittrick and Rick Avery joining us. And Ross and Rick are members of a band called The Wild Oats. They have this Guelph launch of their latest CD, which is entitled Dog-Eared Hymnal Book Volume 1. It takes place tonight, which is Saturday, December the 7th, at St. David and St. Patrick's Church on Speedvale at 7:30 p.m. It's a pretty neat CD because a lot of the proceeds from the CD and also from the concert taking place tonight are going to charity. Wonderful that they would plan to do that. We're going to go to that album just now and listen to a beautiful song, but you can hear there's like three pieces we're going to play. We're going to listen to Rhonda and then Farewell to Aberdeen and Terribus, which actually are all hymn tunes. And that's the neat thing about this for those of us with memories of our childhood. It's a great way to listen to some music that is familiar, but also a little different. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph. Wow, wasn't that a treat? That is The Wild Oats. And we actually listened to three pieces that for some of us who, I was going to spend a lot of time going to church when you were kids, it's like, oh my God, I recognize all those tunes, but the way they flow together, it's just wonderful. The Wild Oats on Folk Roots Radio this morning, the three songs we listened to, Rhonda, Farewell to Aberdeen, and Terribus. And I'm joined by two members of The Wild Oats this morning. We have Ross McKittrick and Rick Avery with us today. It's great to have you join us today.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
It's good to see you again, Jan.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you know, Rick is a bit of a regular on this show, but he always brings such cool people. So, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed that he's back because it was great to have you back. That was wonderful. I'm going to get you, Ross, to maybe talk a little bit about the Wild Oats because are you the leader of this band? I mean, is that the way I should... I kind of call it now Ross McKittrick and the Wild Oats, and I realize that there may be others that sort of think, oh, we're, you know, we're going to be like Ringo or something.
Yeah, I'm kind of the culprit, I guess you could say. This started a few years ago. So I've been playing Celtic music, bagpipes and penny whistle, for a few years, and there's a lot of Christmas music that works really well on the pipe. So a few years ago, I just got together with some friends, Tom Van Milligan, Nicole Ensing, and a few others, to learn some Christmas repertoire. And we formed a little band, called ourselves the Wild Oats, and really just played a couple of Christmas services. And then decided that at one point to do a CD as a fundraiser for World Vision. And then it's just all kind of grown from there. So that was the CD we released last year, Making Spirits Bright. And then there have been a few lineup changes over the years. So this year, Rick and his son John joined as guitar and fiddle. And we started working on the repertoire out of the hymn book, as you mentioned, just taking these great old hymn tunes and weaving them in with traditional Celtic music. So your listeners might have recognized Rhonda as Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And it's a march, and it just goes great with these other marches, the Farewell to Aberdeen and Terribus. And so that's the kind of repertoire that we've built up for this CD.
Well, it's funny because when I went out to our green room, we have kind of a green room at CFIU. It's not green, but it's where the musicians will come and tune up before they come into the studio. And it's funny because I was playing that song when I went out. And it's like, oh, my God, it's very hard not to smile when you're listening to this. It's like, it's just, you know, because which was probably good from the point of view of hymn tunes because, you know, if you're going to get people to stay in the church, you've got to make the music kind of fun to listen to.
Yeah, well, these two, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt on Rick there, but like we both are very familiar with church music, and the tunes that have survived, like the hymn book's revised every 20 years or so, and there's some tunes that just stay in there every time because they're great tunes. They stay in the mind, they're really appealing to sing to, they're very rhythmical, and so that's the repertoire that we've drawn from.
Yeah, I was going to say St. David's, St. Patrick, which is where we're doing the concert tonight, is also where I was playing organ for a year, and Ross joined the congregation partway through the year and started coming in, bringing his pipes and his flutes and all the rest of it and playing during the service. And it was great. Everybody loved it. The minister was right on board with it. And so we sort of were able to hone some of this stuff because we were playing it live, you know, in the real situation of a church service. And it always felt right.
But it really does work. And I think, was there 29 different tunes on the album?
Yeah. Yeah, hymn tunes are very short. So some of them maybe only 16 bars. So you couldn't just pick a tune and play it over and over and over for 3 minutes. But by putting them into medleys, it allows us to pick up the tempo a bit and work with it that way. But there's also just so many of them that we actually are close to having a full second CD worth of repertoire just because there are lots we wanted to do but couldn't fit into this one.
So I should mention before we get too far into this interview that this is not really your career as such, but I get the sense that this is you really love this. But I mean, you're also a professor at the university, I think, and an economist. And are you working in environmental science department, is that right?
I'm a professor of economics, and I teach environmental economics. And a lot of my teaching is in the environmental economics and environmental science programs.
I should add that I interviewed Ross, I don't know, it was 5 or 6 years ago on the old Royal City Rag Show. And it was funny because we were talking about environmental issues. And And then at the end of it, I always remember you saying to me, you said, you should ask me about my music. And it's like 6 years later, well, we finally get around to it because it's cool. I mean, I have to say, I find it pleases me greatly when people say, well, actually, you know, this is my day job, but I also love to do this too. Mm. So it's great to have you be here. So tell me a little bit about how you got into playing the pipes. I mean, what was it that made you want to do that?
I played piano for many years. I didn't really get very far at it, but as an adult, I was thinking of going back to taking lessons again after having taken a break. And then I saw a bagpiper in a parade, and I thought, actually, it'd be fun to learn bagpipes. I'll just learn pipes and then go back to piano. And that was about 10 years ago, and I ended up staying with the pipes. But I got the phone number of a fellow named Robin Agus, who's a local piping instructor, and asked him about taking lessons. And he said, well, are you thinking of joining the pipe band? And I said, no. And he said, do you live out in the country? And I said, no. And he said, well, when do you think you're going to practice? So then he explained that you don't have to learn the big Highland pipes, which is what I was thinking of. You could learn the small pipes, the Scottish small pipes. And they're an indoor instrument. You can play them in bands and in pubs. And so I went and listened to him play and decided that would be really fun. So I don't actually play the Highland pipes. I just play Scottish small pipes.
Well, when you say Scottish small pipes, I mean, are Northumbrian pipes similar to those, or are they different?
They are a bit similar. The Scottish small pipes, which I have a set right here, they are really just scaled down Highland pipes. Same fingering, same chanter, but just quieter. Northumbrian pipes are a little different. They've got keys on the chanter. They have a wider range. But the small pipes, they're not as well known, but they are making a bit of a comeback just because...
you can play them indoors.
You can play them indoors. Yeah, it's really about the same volume as, say, a clarinet or something like that. Okay. And they're very versatile. So I started taking lessons through a place called Riverside Celtic College here in town and got very involved with that. And my regular gig now is on Friday nights up in Ellora at the Shepherd's Pub. There's a whole group of Celtic musicians in the area that just get together for an informal jam session. And then otherwise, this project here with the Wild Oats is the other place that I play.
So I imagine going up to Ellora on a Friday night, if people want to get a little bit of a fix in Celtic music, I mean, is it something that, you know, that would appeal to people wanting to just come and enjoy you guys playing?
Oh, yeah. It's a really neat session. It's been going for about 10 years now, and there's an awful lot of really good Celtic musicians in the area. So on any particular night, there might be three or four, up to a dozen, and lots of different instruments, and great traditional repertoire that gets played there. And then Rick and John and Judy are also playing Fergus most Friday nights, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Fergus or Guelph. We play our contra dances, so almost never get to those sessions because we're always busy playing for a dance someplace.
But you are playing together as part of the Wild Oats, which is great. And obviously, we've kind of alluded to the fact that we do have instruments in the studio this morning. I think we should get you to play. I've never had bagpipes on the show before, so we're breaking new ground here.
Yeah, okay. And especially not in a studio this size, I imagine. Actually, there is that old joke about what's the definition of a gentleman, someone who can play the bagpipes but doesn't, right? But you could also say someone who can play the Highland pipes but chooses to play the parlor pipes instead. So I like to think Ross is at least partly gentlemanly here.
So what are you going to play
first? Which one are we going to do first?
Well, if you wanted to hear a piping piece, we could do the Bleak Midwinter first.
Sure. Let's do that.
So a traditional carol, but it's with pipes.
You probably want to go and stand over.
You can mix this for us by just making me closer or farther away from
the
microphone.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is Ross McKittrick and Rick Avery from the Wild Oats on Folk Roots Radio.
Sure.
Thank you.
That is Ross McKittrick and Rick Avery, who are two members of the Wild Oats, live on Folk Roots Radio this morning. And a beautiful, beautiful version of In the Bleak Midwinter. I'm actually kind of proud of myself because I managed to to mix that very unsophisticatedly. Hopefully it sounded good at home, but that was great. That was very, very beautiful.
Yeah, so we tied into Bleak Midwinter. We went into another one called See Amid the Winter Snow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, I should have recognized that.
Isn't that one?
They're four. They're both.
No,
Gustav Holst.
Gustav Holst wrote the melody for See Amid the Winter Snow. That particular version of, because there are two tunes that would See Amid the Winter too.
Yeah,
aren't there?
When we do the Christmas repertoire, that's the thing. If we say, well, we'll do In the Bleak Midwinter, and then there are two different tunes called In the Bleak Midwinter, so we have to say A or B.
Yeah, I used to love singing See Amid the Winter Snow when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But we're getting really into...
Tis the season.
Childhood
you
memories,
outside,
yeah.
It's getting to be bleak in midwinter right now.
It's only just started. Yeah, that was beautiful. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and play another, because that was fabulous. What would you like to play for us this time?
Well, this is a tune or a set that's from the CD itself. And this is, the three tunes are called Miles Lane, Last Uns und Freuen, and the Easter Hymn. And people might recognize them from the hymn names themselves. But these ones, I'll do them on the whistle and Rick's on guitar. And they're just a kind of upbeat, and we play with the tempo a little bit along the way.
You know that I'm a Morris dancer. And Jesus Christ is risen today. It really ought to be a Morris dance. You know, Jesus Christ is, you know.
So Rick Avery is jumping up and down the studio just now.
But I was close calls with the furniture.
So I was telling Ross about how when you're in a Morris team, very often you'll slow the music down on the beat on the second half of the tune. So instead of going, let's see, dum bum dum bum bum bum, you go dum. Da dum, and you jump really high. So we're gonna do a little bit of that in the second half of that tune. It's the last tune. It's too bad Judith's not listening, because
she can listen later. Ross McKittrick and Rick Avery from the Wild Oats.
Okay.
That is Russ McKittrick and Rick Avery live on Folk Roots Radio this morning. They are both members of the Wild Oats. They will be playing their CD release show tonight, 7:30 p.m. at St. David and St. Patrick's Church, which is up on Speedvale. And it's a beautiful venue. I mean, not just obviously it's a church, but it has incredible acoustics.
Wonderful acoustics. Absolutely superb for concert settings. We've had several concerts up there now.
Yeah.
And one of the common denominators of all of them from the audience's point of view afterwards has been, this place is great acoustics, you know.
So, oh, yeah. No, it's absolutely really fabulous. The three tunes we listened to were All Hail the Power, For All That Dwell, and then Jesus Christ is Risen was the third one. Is that right, Russ?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they're all their tunes. Actually, they would form a three-tune group on the album Dog-Eared Hymnal Volume 1. It's a great idea. I love the idea of putting these old hymn tunes into a Celtic tradition. It's fabulous.
And some of them, they're tunes that are part of the Celtic repertoire, but they also are part of the hymn book repertoire. There seem to be a fair amount of crossover between those two genres. So one of the tunes on the CD is called Kingsfold. And when you play it slowly, it's a hymn tune, I Feel the Winds of God Today. Speed it up, and it's an Irish reel called Star of the County Down. And it's just the same tune, but it shows up in two different repertoires.
Which is really interesting, because actually it's a waltz originally.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Well, we play it in 4/4.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we did too, and I didn't even know that it was a waltz. Hmm. When I recorded it in 1980 on an album called Harbor Grace. To a set of words about someone being jilted by their lover. What was it called? I can't remember. Isn't it terrible? You write, you record these things and you can't even remember the names of them 30 years later. But it was an Irish song. So there's lots of different settings to it. And then I was at a country dance years later and someone said, let's do Star of the County Down. I said, how does that go? And he played it, and I said, oh, I know that, but it's a reel. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, this is the way it's supposed to be a waltz.
And there are other tunes, too, like the Ashgrove.
Oh, yeah.
CD. That's another one, Celtic repertoire, but it's a setting for him, too.
It's a British tune.
Yeah. British?
It's Welsh.
Welsh.
Ashgrove?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yes. Dum bum, buddy dum bum. Yeah.
I want to go back to something you mentioned at the start, because I think it kind of, you talked about it at the start, but I do want to have a little chat about that. And that's the fact that you proceeds from this CD, as well as some of the proceeds from the last CD, are going to World Vision. I want to give you a chance just to talk about why you decided you wanted to do that.
Well, when we first got the band going, Tom and Nicole and I at the time Herman van der Kooi was also involved in guitar and Joanne McCauley on fiddle, and for all of us it was just a hobby. We're not doing it to make money, and even the making of the CD was more for the fun than anything. So that being the case, it just seemed natural to want to send the proceeds somewhere. And in my family, we've been supporters of World Vision for a long time. We know some employees at World Vision, and they have a program for school supplies that if you make a donation to it, it's matched by corporate sponsors. And at the time we did the CD, it was a 15-to-1 matching. So for the $5 from the sale of the CD would go to World Vision, then it gets matched and becomes a $75 shipment of school supplies. So I thought that was a really neat thing for people to be able to participate in. And then when we planned the dog-eared hymnal, again, World Vision has a fund for medical supplies, and it's also run through their Christmas catalog. And there it's matched 14-to-1. So $5 from the CD goes into that fund, and then another $65 worth of supplies gets contributed, so you end up with a $70 shipment of medical supplies. And I just thought those were nice ways for people who are enjoying the music also to participate in what I think is a really effective program that World Vision runs.
And I think tonight's concert, there is a fundraising aspect to that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, so the CDs support World Vision. For the concert, St. David and St. Patrick is kindly hosting us, and they're involved in a literacy intervention program at the Brant Avenue Public School called Running and Reading Club. And so the profits from the concert tonight are going to that fund to support DMP's involvement in the Running and Reading program. And it's a great program. It uses a combination of athletic training as well as one-on-one reading support for kids in schools. There's a couple of schools in Guelph now that are involved, but also it's taking off across the country. There are a lot of schools.
Is it Jan Ruga? Who's?
Yes. Yeah. Sylvia Ruga.
Sylvia Ruga, sorry. Are you familiar with Sylvia?
Name sounds familiar.
She was an Olympic, Canadian Olympic athlete. She was, grew up here.
Yeah.
And she's recently retired, I guess, or fairly recently. Boy, she's still in great shape. Mm-hmm. She's sort of taken this under her wing as a sort of a life's work.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so she's singled Guelph out as being, and Brant Ave is one of the poorest neighborhoods, in not just in Guelph, but in all Canadian cities. It's really desperate out there, and they really need all the help they can get. Yeah. So we hope people, well, we know people are going to come. We've got almost a full house. We're
excited
about it.
Yeah. Well, that is wonderful. Let's play some more music. We do have the instruments here. What would you like to play for us now?
No idea. What would you like to play?
Only agreed on two tunes ahead of time. So, let me think. Oh, the opening set here.
Sure. Why not?
You're listening to Folk Roots Radio on CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph. I should mention, we periodically enjoy having musicians come play in the studio. If you're a musician, or perhaps you know a musician who would like to play, get in touch. You can contact me at jan@folkrootsradio.com. Today we have Russ McKittrick and Rick Avery from the Wild Oats in the studio with us today. Okay. What are you going to play this time?
This is the Darwall set. So it begins with a tune called Darwall and then goes into Duke Street. And then it ends with an Irish reel called Miss Monaghan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
That is Ross McKittrick and Rick Avery live in the studio. And that was the Darwell set. Do you want to just remind everybody what that was again?
Yeah, Darwell set. So the first tune, the hymn name would be Rejoice the Lord is King. And then Duke Street, it's Jesus Shall Reign Wherever the Sun. And then the last piece was an Irish reel called Miss Monaghan.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. And that is the first song on the album Dog-Eared Hymnal Volume 1. Volume 1, does that mean there'll be another one coming?
Yeah, so I remember going through the hymn book, making the selections and realizing there's just way too much to fit onto one CD. And so from the outset, we just ended up with so much music that it made sense to plan two volumes. And actually, from the response, I mean, people are very, very positive in the feedback. I keep hearing from people that they just love the sound, and they love the repertoire, but also just the freshness of it. So I think it makes sense to, as the momentum's there, to carry on and complete the project with two volumes.
Got to get in there before the studio moves out to...
yeah. We recorded it at Revelation Sound here in Guelph, which is a great studio. He's an amazing engineer and facility, but he is planning actually to relocate to the east side of Toronto in a couple of years, so we're on a deadline here.
Yeah. What does the future hold for... the Wild Oats, you mentioned that the players this time are slightly different from the players the first time. Do you see this as a musical group that will evolve over time, or is it likely that you'll continue to play with the same people?
Well, I get the impression that groups always seem to come and go. I mean, you make plans and then people either get busy or just their interest change, but we're having a lot of fun with this material, and I hope that we keep playing together.
We all live here.
Yeah, we all live here. And
I mean, your first album, I think your fiddler was...
Yeah, so Sarah Featherstone was from Toronto. It wouldn't have worked to try to make that a regular thing. But with Rick and John living here, we all live here. And like I say, we're having a lot of fun with the material, and I certainly hope that we keep at it. I should also mention that our trumpeter, Dan Warren, he won't be able to play with us tonight. He's a very busy musician. He has a concert tonight. But because we had a trumpeter, and also Tom Van Milligan, our bass player, is a trombone player, so we kind of depart from the Celtic tradition and put some brass in on the CD. And
That's traditional now, too. Yeah, if you listen to Bartine Sourian recordings, or there's even contradance bands on the circuit now using full horn sections.
Yeah. Wow.
With trumpet, trombone.
I just remember a guy showed up at the session in Elora with a trombone, and that didn't go over well. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, but some of the others...
There's a guy out in Toronto who's playing bassoon.
Cool.
With this music, yeah.
No, that's neat. Any prospects? I mean, do you write at all? Or do you have a desire to maybe, a couple of questions. First one, writing your own tunes, is that something that you do or will do?
I have written a couple. One of the tunes on the Christmas CD is an original composition. And then a CD that we're putting out through Riverside Celtic College, hopefully in the early winter, there's a march that Robin Agus and I play that I wrote. I haven't really worked at that too much. Rick, you've probably done some composing on your own.
No, not tunes. I've written a couple of songs. Hmm. But I like to think my forte is recognizing somebody else's good song and making sure that it gets spread
out.
Well,
that is the thing. When you're working with repertoire like this, you realize I couldn't possibly improve on this.
And that is a very good point. What about a solo album? Do you ever see that maybe a solo album in the future?
No. In an area like this, there are so many really good folk musicians around that actually deserve a lot more exposure. And I'm, as you mentioned, I'm a professor. This is just a hobby for me. I could never put enough time into it to be a solo artist. So I like to just bring the instruments in and support what other folks are doing.
Yeah. Are you going to be touring over the next year? I mean, will we catch you at a festival somewhere?
I don't see any reason why we shouldn't at least.
I certainly don't see.
Yeah, I don't think it would hurt.
We have a great concert repertoire worked out. I hope we get a chance to take it around and play it with a group like this. People have day jobs and so on. It's always just a little tricky to find a time when we can all play together. Yeah. But
I mean, I would imagine all to have us for the Sunday gospel. You know, I mean, I really do. I think we'd be great for their Sunday gospel.
Well, that's good. You should be saying that loud on this show, or maybe they'll be listening. So
I'm saying out loud, and hopefully it'll put it in somebody's ear. You know, you never know.
What about the Mill Race as well? I would have thought that doing something at the Mill Race festival would be fun.
I know the guy who runs that pretty well. Yeah. So. And you do too, I think.
Brad, and he has Riverside people on. So that's another possibility. Haven't really planned that far ahead.
I'm a great believer in because I know that I find sometimes my musician friends get often so focused in what they're doing, they're not sort of thinking two or three steps down the road as to what happens next. I'm very pleased. I want to thank Rick for suggesting that you come in, and it's been great fun having you here today. We have time just for one more piece, which I'd like to play before we wrap, and I'm going to get you to introduce, I think, is it the final track on the album?
It isn't the final track, but it's sort of late in the program. But this is a set that begins with a tune called Eventide, and then it moves into a tune called Woodlands, and then ends with Roxburgh Castle, which is a hornpipe. Eventide is just an absolutely gorgeous piece. I think it's almost perfection in terms of its simplicity, but it's a setting for Abide With Me, which is a hymn that's popular at funerals, but also it should be played often. And then the second one is...
My favorite when I was a kid growing up, actually. Yeah. I loved singing that hymn.
And then it's a bit of a funeral piece, so then we pick up the tone and go into the tune Tell Out My Soul, which is Woodlands. And then finish by switching to a pipe tune, which is the Roxburgh Castle. So I think the set works really nicely, just that sequence.
Now, you mentioned you're close to selling out tonight, but there must be still a few.
Oh, we can shoehorn in at least another 15 people if we had to. Okay. Please, anybody who wants to, please come out. We'll find the seat for you.
It's advertised that they're $20 advance or $25 at the door, but if people say that they heard us on CFRU, we'll sell them a ticket for $20. At the door.
And I think wasn't there a special deal that they could get the...
Yes. Oh, yes. You buy two tickets and you get a free copy of the CD.
Now, that is definitely a deal. If you're listening at home, this is a great CD and lots of fun. And we are getting around to that time of year when you need to think about presents for people.
Yes.
And this would definitely fit in that category as well.
I have it on good authority that a lot of your parents and grandparents would love a copy of this CD.
Yeah, that's great. You've been listening to Folk Roots Radio on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. My guests for this hour have been Ross McKittrick and Rick Avery, and we'll leave you with a little bit of the Wild Oats. You're listening to CFIU 93.3 FM in Guelph. We'll see you next week.